still here some pages. I'm going to start because I don't have much time. The Word of God says, if you're familiar, his brothers are angry with him. His father had shown favoritism to him because of his mother's death, his biological mother's death. Jacob loved Rachel more than his other wife. And moreover, Joseph was the son of his old age. So he favored Joseph over his other 11 brothers and even gave him this special coat of many colors to show that favoritism. So Joseph, being chosen by God as a prophet, was given a vision by God. And kind of foolishly, really. I mean, I suppose it was probably just the foolishness of youth. The Bible's not really clear on why. Goes to his brothers with this dream that God gave him and asks their opinion about it, and it makes them even more angry. So now in Genesis 20, we see them plotting against him. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Joseph's brothers' jealousy of him because of their father's sin of favoritism spurned them, and being spurned to rage by Joseph's prophetic dreams, again they had sought to kill him because of this. Now, Reuben had saved him from this by talking them into putting him in a pit instead. And then Judah had the idea of selling him to the Ishmaelites. Now, this is all the providence of God. God has this plan. They don't know this, but God has this plan. Now, keep in mind, Joseph suffered in a pit without water, was sold into slavery, carted to Egypt. There, however, God gave him favor with his owner Potiphar, and he was blessed of God. That trial ended there for a season. What was the purpose of Joseph's many trials? It was to sustain the nation of Israel through 7 years of unimaginable famine. Joseph didn't know that at that time. His brethren didn't know that at that time. But there was a purpose for that trial. Our second example is in 1 Samuel. There's many verses. I'm only going to look at a few. It's David's battle with Goliath. And this one is a little different because David has great faith in God in this, mainly because God had delivered him so many times before from so many different situations. So we're going to look at chapter 17. And we're only going to look at a few key verses here. First, I want you to look at verse 37. Now, if you remember the story, Saul didn't want him to go out there and meet Goliath. He was small. He was a young boy. Who was he before Goliath? If the armies of Israel couldn't stand before him, how could David? So Saul was against him. And yet David said, no, God had done this for me. He has spared me before lions. He has spared me before bears. He has protected me as I watched over my father's flocks. He will do this too. Who are they to stand before the armies of the living God? He trusted God in the midst of this trial. He knew that God would be with him. Verse 37 says, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto him, unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And I also want to look at verses 43 through 47. And this is really the result of this trial and what happens because of David's faith in this. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Right there, David won his trial. He surrendered completely to God. And God used him, and he had victory over Goliath. And if you remember the story, he didn't use a sword or a stave to kill Goliath. The stone sunk into his head. And to make sure he was dead, he took Goliath's own sword and he cut off his head. And God gave him victory. And then that victory so spurned the nation of Israel that they went on and they chased those Philistines and had great victory over them that day. What was the purpose of David's trial? Well, frankly, it was to glorify God before Israel and her enemies. They were so downtrodden before them that they were just ready to roll up and admit defeat. They wouldn't even fight. They wouldn't stand. And David wouldn't have it. Praise God that he was ready to fight. Our next definition tonight, tribulation, is a time of great persecution, suffering, or trouble that afflicts a believer for an extended period of time. It requires endurance, forbearance, and continual faith in God and his sovereignty to get through. Our first example is in 1 Samuel chapter 19 through chapter 26. This lasted for 8 years of David's life. I'm not going to have you turn there because of time, but I will read a few short verses tonight. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel 26, and we'll read verses 21 through 25. Here David's fleeing the hand of Saul. And I want to read here what's going on as Saul's finally admitting his sin to David at the end. In this verses 21 through 25. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul is precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, behold, the king's spear. David had taken his spear while he slept, if you remember the story. And let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand this day, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day, in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David, thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. David even spent 4 of those 8 years fighting alongside Philistines as he was fleeing Saul. Mainly, I think, to give himself some sort of protection as he fled Saul. His father had in-law had taken his wife away from him, chased him like a dog, tried to impale him with a spear, and used propaganda to smear his name. And it was all out of jealousy because Samuel had prophesied that God had wrenched the kingdom out of Saul's hand and given it to David. David endured this for 8 years, and then God delivered him from it. What was the purpose of David's tribulation? It was to prepare him for his role as king and to further increase his reliance upon God. Our second example is a little different. It's Noah and his family in the ark. I don't want to talk long on this tonight because I'm running out of time. You all know the story of Noah. Him and his family were on the ark for 371 days. That's approximately 12 months, 3 weeks, and 4 days, to put that into perspective. Why was this tribulation? Well, because God led them into it. Because it wasn't easy. Yes, God was saving their lives. But it wasn't something that they necessarily wanted to do. It was something they had to do for their own good. Think about the ark. The conditions were awful. Swelling seas, fierce winds, rain falling for 40 days and nights, the animals, the smell. They would have had, I realized something, they would have had to carry the animal waste up to the top deck and throw it overboard. That's awful. That isn't a very glamorous job, is it? And they were on board for 371 days. I don't know about you. Now, this is a big ship, okay? It was approximately 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. This thing was the size of an oil tanker. You could fit 52 railway cars on this thing. 52 fully loaded railway cars, and it wouldn't capsize. It was not small. But you're on it for 371 days with all those animals, and you're going to get cabin fever. You're going to miss sunshine. All they could do was look forward to God's redemption at the end of the flood and trust that God knew what he was doing in instructing Noah in ark building. What was the purpose of Noah's tribulation? To preserve a remnant of humanity that walked with God and preserve God's creation from the flood. And they did. Praise God. God's plan worked, because God's plan always does. Our third point tonight is chastisement. It's correction for wrongdoing. It's a time of pain allowed by God into a believer's life because of sin, especially habitual sin. Its purpose is to call the believer back to godly living for the glory of God. Its amount of time varies, partly because it's dependent upon God's mercy, and partly because it's dependent upon a believer's genuine repentance. I also want to make a note here that it doesn't necessarily mean that God will lift the conditions that you're going through. sometimes there are consequences for your sin that are permanent. If somebody dies, for example, because of your sin, they're dead. Our first example tonight is in Numbers. It's Numbers 14, 20 through 35. I'm not going to read the whole thing. The Israelites had believed the report given to them by the 10 faithless spies. I want you to look at verses 33 through 35. God is speaking here. He is very angry. He says, "And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die." I also want you to look at verses 22 and 23. "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me, now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." Now, if you remember the rest of what God had said here, only two of them did, Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joseph the son of Nun. The rest died in the wilderness. So what's the purpose of chastisement on Israel here? It was to bring about repentance, a cleansing. It was to bring about gratefulness in the remaining host of Israel, and to show them that they could not be flippant with the Lord God. It also brought about a grateful generation into the promised land. And I think we truly saw that once they finally got there 40 years later. Our second example is Jonah in the storm and in the belly of the fish. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but I am going to talk about it specifically. Jonah's chastisement, the whole book is a really fascinating, really. You see chastisement right at the beginning of the book. It starts in verse 4. God gets really angry with Jonah when he starts on his way to Tarshish and causes a storm to come up and hit the ship. Jonah ignores it and goes to sleep in the ship. Now the people in the boat get scared and they cast lots to figure out why the storm is coming, and the lot falls to Jonah. So they wake him up and they ask him who he is and what he does and why this storm would be bugging him. And he explains why. And they're really afraid at this point, all the sailors on the ship. Well, the storm continues to get worse and worse. And they ask Jonah what they should do. And he's like, "Just throw me overboard." Well, they don't want to do this because they're afraid that the Lord God Almighty will get mad at them, the living God, for killing Jonah. So finally, as the ship's about to break apart, they beg God to have mercy on them and not to put his blood on their hands, and they throw Jonah overboard, and the storm stops. Jonah's swallowed by a fish, and he spends 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly. Now, remember, the fish was prepared by God to swallow Jonah. So, really, while it was also there to chastise Jonah, it was also an act of mercy, because otherwise Jonah would have drowned. So what was the purpose of Jonah's chastisement? Well, it was so that Jonah could accomplish God's will. Jonah was so determined not to do what God wanted him to do that he was willing to throw himself out of that boat. He was willing to go to Tarshish. He was willing to flee from the face of God. He had willfully sinned, and he wanted to keep running from God. Well, God didn't want that. He wanted Jonah to follow him. Finally, in the belly of the fish, Jonah repented. But was his repentance genuine and truthful and lasting, or was it a fleeting repentance in the moment? I don't know as if we can answer that, but we can see from Jonah's life that it didn't last. And I think that's all we can truly say. So what can we do with all of this? We can remember that trials, tribulations, and chastisement always end in one of three ways for a follower of Christ. They can end in a veering walk. You can turn from God and reject his will. That stops our spiritual growth. We shouldn't do that. That's not God's will. We don't want to do that. God doesn't want us to do that. It can end with us having a stagnant walk, where we are happy where we are and refuse to follow after God. Jonah did both of those, didn't he? He veered away from God when he fled to Tarshish, and then when he was on the boat, he fell asleep in the boat. Stunting his spiritual growth instead of listening to the Lord. Or thirdly, we can have a growing walk where we learn and follow after God and be teachable, and this produces healthy spiritual growth. So in conclusion, whether we experience a trial in our lives or tribulation in our lives where we experience God's chastisement, God allows it all that we may grow closer to him and might know him better. It is God's desire that we fellowship with him. So when we sin habitually or we sin in the moment and fail to repent, we will get right with God. When God desires us to serve him more faithfully, or he desires us to grow in service, faith, or in a fruit of the Spirit, he will often lead us into a trial or even into a time of tribulation. While everything a believer goes through isn't a trial, a time of tribulation, or chastisement, some of it may be. So we should use prayer, discernment, scripture, and godly counsel to discern whether or not we are afflicted or being chastened. On a side note, because believers contend with spiritual warfare as well, that is something that should be considered in light of these things. So I do want you to keep that in mind, because I don't want you to think that everything is a trial, a time of tribulation, or chastisement from God. In conclusion, if we are all diligent and seek God's will when faced with trials, tribulations, and chastisement, I promise you, God will bless our church and we will grow. Thank you.